Hello, church family. This is Pastor James McManus with Word of God Ministries. I want to thank you for tuning in to today's podcast. My prayer today is that this word encourages and deepens your faith. Again, thanks for tuning in.
We read before the prayer in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 20, where the word says, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ." Read that part out loud. "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ." When you say that I am an ambassador, you're saying that I have a position, I have a purpose, I have a role. And in God's word, we've been given this mandate, this assignment that we're representatives of Christ, that we've been called to advance his kingdom and to bring him glory. No matter where you are in life or what's going on in your world today, I want you to know that you are a purpose with a name, that you are significant to God, that everything that God created, he created to bring him glory. And no matter how you may feel about yourself or your life or your past, you are significant today. You may have all your life felt like you've just been used and somebody's pawn, but today, in Jesus' name, you might have walked in here as a pawn, but you're walking out as a king. Can you say amen to that? Hallelujah. When you talk about the kingdom of God, the best way I know how to explain it is to take the word kingdom and separate it into two parts, king and then dom, D-O-M, short for domain or dominion. So when I'm living to advance the kingdom of God, I'm living to advance the dominion, the knowledge of the kingdom of God. I'm living for the kingdom. Dominion was the first gift God gave man in Genesis 1:26. It's the first thing we're told to seek in Matthew 6:33. It's the first petition that the Lord taught us to pray in Matthew 6 and 10. It was the first gift that Jesus gave the church in Matthew 16. It's mentioned 122 times in the New Testament. It's the premier message of the gospel, the kingdom. Jesus in John 18, when he was questioned by Pilate, and Pilate said, "Are you a king?" Jesus said, "For this purpose I was born." He was saying, "I came into this world because of the kingdom." It was John the Baptist's first sermon. It was Jesus's first sermon. It was his longest sermon on the Sermon on the Mount, which dealt entirely with the kingdom of God. And you and I have been called as ambassadors of his kingdom. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. Can you say that out loud? We're in the world, but we're not of the world. We're called to advance his kingdom and to bring him glory. Now, I want to do this. Come back with me to the Gospel of John. I want to go to the third chapter, John chapter number 3. And let's talk about the jurisdiction of the Lord. Let's talk about the boundaries of his dominion. Because my concern is that the church has not rightly or righteously defined itself. We appear to be bold when we gather together. We're ready to lift up the name of Jesus. We're ready to proclaim our faith, but we walk outside the doors of the church and then something else happens. And I'm even concerned that most don't even know what a church is. We drive down the road and we see a steeple on a building. We say, "Ain't that a pretty church?" No, that's a building. A church is not a building. A church is a people. And when Jesus established the church, in that establishment of the church, he addresses a problem and he addresses the solution. And I think it's important to visit that problem that he addresses and the solution that he addresses, because that's where you find purpose. I believe that every one of us have been called to solve a problem. And when you are able to solve a problem, you find your purpose. Glory to God. So Jesus in Matthew 16, with his disciples gathered together, he asked this question. He said, "Who do men say I am?" Who do men say I am? He's saying, okay, you live in this community. You live in this society. You live in these neighborhoods. What are people saying about me? That's what Jesus is asking the 12 disciples. Who do men say that I am? Remember, we're called to be ambassadors. We're called to be representatives. So Jesus looked at his 12 ambassadors or representatives, and he said, okay, he's addressing a problem. Who do men say that I am? They answered back in Matthew 16, and they said, well, some say you're Jeremiah. Some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're Elijah or one of the prophets. That's a problem, because that's not who Jesus was. So the problem was is that in the society that the disciples lived in, there was not an accurate knowledge of who Jesus is. And I believe that's the same issue that the church is facing today, is that we don't know who Jesus is. The world does not know who Jesus is. And we've got to take Jesus outside these walls and take him to where he is needed. We got to get the gospel into the streets. We got to get the gospel into our schools. We got to get the gospel into our workplaces. We've got to go out into society and take the message of Jesus. Can you say amen to that? So before Jesus established his church, he started with a question. Who do men say that I am? Think about that in your own life, the people that you hang out with, the people you go to school with, the people you go to work with. What do they say about Jesus? Is he some man they only celebrate on Christmas? Is he somebody that they say, yeah, you know, our Easter, he's resurrected, we celebrate this. What's their knowledge? What are people saying about Jesus? Jesus is addressing the problem before he gives the solution. But before he can solve the problem, he's got to make sure his disciples have the solution. So then he asks the second question, and all this comes from Matthew 16, starting around verse 18. He says, who do you say I am? Before there can be reconciliation of what the world thinks of Jesus, there has to be an accurate knowledge of who his own disciples think of Jesus. See, listen, church is not necessarily the answer for what's going on in society, because in this area that I'm preaching right now, you've got, what, 400 churches in the area? You'd think this would be as holy as the Holy Land. You would think that everything would be right in Shreveport, Bossier, with the number of churches. You got one on every corner, but yet we're still seeing brokenness and poverty and crime and murder, and we're seeing all of this around us. Why? Because maybe the church is not being who Jesus called it to be. Now, I'm not talking about churches down the road. I'm talking about starting right here. So Jesus says, who do men say that I am? They said, oh, wrong answer. So then he said, okay, problem. Who do you say I am? Now, if they don't get this right, we got a real problem. Who do you say I am? They sat there with tongue in mouth until Peter, whose name was Simon, uttered this. He said, you are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. Correct answer. Jesus looked back at Simon. He said, flesh and blood hath not revealed this to you. You didn't get this down on the corner. You didn't read this on Facebook. This is something that my Father has given you by his Spirit. And then Jesus said this. He said, and upon this, I will build my church. What did he build the church on? He built the church on the revelation of who Jesus is. Notice he asked, who do men say I am? Wrong answer. They didn't have a revelation. Who do you say I am? Peter got a revelation. He said, on this I build my church. What was he saying? He's saying the church is built to reconcile a lost world that doesn't know who he is with people that do know who he is. Somebody say ambassador. See, think about your own workplace. Think about your own home, your own children, your own family, your own circle. Do the people in that circle know who Jesus is? That's a problem. The answer is to be you. You're the problem solver. You're the ambassador. You're the one that is to take the light of the world into the darkest areas of the world. That's the purpose that every one of us have. But the problem with the church is we've gotten intimidated by the world. We've let Satan's pawns tell us that we can't take Jesus into that neighborhood, that we can't let others know about our faith, that you can talk about anything but religion and politics. That's what mama told you. And so we talk about the NBA and who went to what team, and we talk about what's happening in the NFL and how much money so-and-so got, and you know they ain't earned all that money yet, and we're willing to talk about anything with boldness and conviction and utter our thoughts while staying silent when it comes to the kingdom. I got to say this to you. God's kingdom goes beyond the borders of this sanctuary. Oh, I'm about to get stirred up in here. God's kingdom goes beyond the borders of this property. What I'm trying to tell you is we don't have to reserve our boldness and our faith to places that have been sanctified, that have God's name. No, we've got to recognize that the God we serve is the Lord of heaven and earth, and that he is God and he is above all. And you cannot find the borders of his jurisdiction. So Jesus then looks at his disciples after the establishment of the church in Matthew 16, and he says, I give unto you the keys of the kingdom. Years ago, I was preaching kingdom. I've been preaching kingdom for a long time. We were at the old location, had about 100, 150 members. Had a member come up to me after one of the services one day. She said, "You sure talk a lot about the kingdom." And I said, "Yes, ma'am, yes, ma'am." She said, "I don't really get that. The church is not a kingdom." She said, I don't think we should be hearing all this king stuff and kingdoms." She said, "The church is not the kingdom." And she was being very critical to me, you know. So I said, "Well, you know, the first gift Jesus gave the church in Matthew 16 was keys to the kingdom. So what are we supposed to do with the keys? If you give me keys, I need to know what it goes to. Does this go to your house? Does this go to your shed? Does this go to your motorcycle? Does this go to your car? What are the keys to?" Jesus gave the church keys, and he said, "These are the keys to the kingdom." That's what he gave to the church, because he knew if the church was going to reconcile what they knew and what the world didn't know, then they needed to have authority to take what they knew to a world that didn't know it. Are you with me? And so he said, "Behold, I give you the keys to the kingdom." And then he said this, he said, "What you bind on earth, I'll bind it in heaven. And what you loose on earth, I will loose it in heaven. I give you the keys. If you want to lock it down. If you want to open it, open it up." And we're wondering why God's not moving. It's because we don't recognize he gave his kings the authority. That went over like this. Y'all hear what I said? We are the ambassadors. And when Jesus established and authored his church in Matthew 16, the original word in Greek is not even church. The original word is ecclesia, which was a political term that can actually be translated senate. It's where the word senate comes from, like a senator. What's a senator? Every state in our nation has two senators. And what do the senators do? They represent. Represent who? The people that they come, where they've come from. Well, I'm a senator in the kingdom of God. That means everywhere I go, I represent this kingdom that I'm from. I am an ambassador of the kingdom. That's what Jesus established, but we let the world turn church into religion and a building. An ambassador is an official term. An ambassador is on foreign land representing a different kingdom or different nation. Just stay with me. The ambassador is endorsed by the kingdom that he represents. The ambassador is paid by the kingdom that he represents. The ambassador is protected by the kingdom he represents. The place where he lives and serves is called the embassy. So the United States has an embassy in various nations, and that embassy flies the United States flag, and that embassy is protected by the United States government, and that embassy is funded by United States money. And you are an ambassador. Look at your neighbor and say, "You're an ambassador." And tell them this, say, "The church is the embassy." See, I'm in the world, but I'm not of the world. I'm in the world, but I'm not of the world. Say it with me. I'm in the world, but I'm not of the world. I don't talk like the world. I don't look like the world. You might think I'm of the world until I open my mouth and you begin to understand who it is I represent. And once you begin to see who I represent, now I'm fulfilling my call in life. I represent the kingdom of God. But God is so good, he's not like the world, because the world will use you as a pawn. It will use you to advance its own agenda. Satan will use you and use you to advance his purpose to kill, steal, and destroy. And when you don't have nothing left, he will abandon you and kick you to the curb. But the kingdom of God is not like that. The kingdom of God will use you and bless you and protect you and empower you and endorse you and will never abandon you. So what's got to happen right now as we try to get somewhere with this message is I need you to see that the bounds of the dominion of God cannot be found. You cannot find the borders of his dominion. In other words, I go to church and I know the Lord is in control and I got to pray in here because this is the place that prayers are heard. But then I leave church. Oh man, I should have prayed when I was at church. Golly, got to be more careful. I wonder if the doors are still open. Let me get back over there. No, the prayer in your car is as powerful as the one in here. Hey! See, you got to realize that you never go outside the bounds of his power and his habitation. See, wherever the Lord has dominion, that's where his will is done. That's what he taught us to pray in Matthew 6, verse 9. He said, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy dominion come." Take dominion, Lord. And when you take dominion, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're seeing this theme, Matthew 16, Matthew 18, Matthew 6, 9, and 10, of heaven manifesting in the earth, the will of heaven manifesting in the earth, the love of heaven manifesting in the earth, the truth of heaven manifesting in the earth, and you're the agents that makes that happen. But church been singing songs about getting up out of here. We ready to go to heaven. God said, "No, I need you to represent heaven. How can you represent heaven if you're in heaven? I need you down here." We came to church and said, "Ah, fly away, oh glory, ah, fly away." Quit trying to fly away. You've got a purpose here right now. All right, watch this in John 3. When you get there, say amen. I about set this up as best I can. John 3 is speaking about John the Baptist and how his ministry was decreasing because Jesus had come on the scene and it was time for Jesus to increase. That's what you see down in verse 30. Look at it real quick and say amen if you see it. Three of y'all, okay. So verse 31, John 3, verse 31. John says this: "He that cometh from above is above all." Let's read that out loud. "He that cometh from above is above all." Not above all on Sunday. Not above all in the church. But he's above all, period. That's anywhere, in any time, he is above all. Glory to God. "He that is of the earth is earthly, and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all." God sent Jesus from heaven, from his own right hand. He's above all. There's no name higher, there's none more powerful, and there are no bounds to his jurisdiction. He is Lord in heaven and he is Lord in earth. He is Lord in heaven and Lord in earth. He's as much God in a crack house as he is the White House. There are no bounds to his habitation. There are no limits to him. His power can be seen in Southern Trace and Cedar Grove at the same time. There are no limits to this God that I speak of. He's not stronger at church and weaker down at the Circle K. No, he's the same God anywhere and everywhere, and you cannot find the bounds of his habitation. in every courthouse, in every church house. He is God all by himself. But we've let the pawns of the world intimidate us into tucking our Bibles under our little armpits and running off to the sacred place called the church. And we get bold in here. But then when we leave, we left everything that we heard, and we live like the world and look like the world and talk like the world. And God is saying, who do men say that I am? Who do you say that I am? Because until you get a revelation of who he is and the call that's on your life, you can't solve the problem that's in the world. We were away last week, and man, we saw some beautiful land up in the mountains. I'm like, Lord, I think you might be calling me to the mountains. You called Moses to the mountain? Jesus was transfigured on a mountain. I believe you could really call me to the mountains. There's got to be somebody here named Jesus. It's beautiful. And I heard the Holy Spirit say, who did I anoint Jesus to preach the gospel to? Luke 4:18, he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. See, we want to go where everything's right and in the light. And God said, no, I've called you to the gutter. I've called you to the darkness. I've called you to the brokenness. I've called you to reach people that don't have the answer, that need the answer of Jesus. Hallelujah. Now go with me back to Matthew 28, and this is about to come together, and you're gonna never be the same. Go back with me to Matthew 28. Turn back a few chapters there. So we read in John 3:21 that Jesus is above all. So you see that on our billboards, and we try to publish that around the city. Jesus above all. I'm not that smart to make that up. That scripture, Jesus is above all. And when you drive by those billboards and you see Jesus above all, I hope it's a reminder to you that no matter where you go or how the enemy may try to intimidate you, Jesus is bigger than anything you face in life. He's above all. Now watch Matthew 28. We'll go to verse 18. When you get there, say amen. Matthew 28 and Acts chapter 1 could be read together because it's the same setting. Jesus has died for our sins, was buried after 3 days and three nights, was raised from the dead. 40 days after he was raised from the dead, he ascended back to the Father. 10 days later, he sent the Holy Spirit. So Matthew 28 is that setting. So watch verse 18. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Read that out loud. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now, you see that word power? In English, we kind of see that as power, like strength and might and ability. But in the original language of the Greek, that word is exousia. E-X-O-U-S-I-A, exousia. Say that one time. Say it 10 times, we'll sound Pentecostal, so don't do that. So exousia, it means jurisdiction. It's about to all come together. Jurisdiction, can you say that word? So Jesus said all power, all authority, all jurisdiction is mine, whether you be in heaven or in the earth. Oh my goodness.
Well, I want to thank you for listening to today's message. For more information and resources, visit our website at wogm.com. I'm Pastor James McManus with Word of God Ministries. Have a blessed week.